This episode covers sensitive topics such as abuse towards children. Please take care when you listen.
You can see from the clips where he's behind the camera, like going up to people, going up to the kids on set, where they visibly cover themselves, turn away, just make themselves smaller. Like, clearly there is a way that he is that they're like, I do not want to interact with you. And like, when I am not being paid to be on camera, I am not giving you anything. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the DeLulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo-hoo! Today, joining us as our live studio audience, just kidding, our producer, Cosmo from The Cosmo Show.
Yeah. How you doing?
I am so great today. How are you?
Groovy. I'm rocking this pink shirt. I love it. Matches my background.
You're so colorful today. I love it.
Right? You have an effect on me.
Oh, it's all the bright colors and the smiles.
Right.
But Cosmo, have you ever heard of the show called Nick?
Nickelodeon. Yes.
Where they slimed everybody.
Yes, I love that show. I watched that show growing up.
Oh. Yeah. Well, today we're going to get to the dark side of it. But before we do, I thought we needed a little bit more smiles and positivity on this episode. So I brought in our canoe today the iconic editor of this podcast named... this computer head. I'm just teasing. It's Choppy.
Choppy.
It's
Choppy!
Yeah. I'm a computer. I'm a girl.
What?
How's my hair?
Your hair looks great, actually.
Great, amazing.
Great.
Yeah, this is my Neotropolis helmet that I'm working on. So let's bump the microphone one more time.
Nah, it's great.
But yeah, this is my...
Wait, what is this for?
Neotropolis. It is an event in the desert. And last year I went and I decided this year I need to put things over my whole face. So...
Heck yeah.
Computer head.
Iconic. Do you got air conditioning in there?
I do. I put some little
really?
Fans in there so they connect to this USB wire nice. That will be connected to an actual battery.
Nice.
So it is very light. People think it's heavy when they see it, but it's like 1 pound. But
wow. Yeah,
I put those little computer fans in there.
That is so cool. You're so inventive.
I will see you there at Neo. It's my first year, so.
Yay.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait. Yeah. Yeah. I've been working on... all my little outfits, trying to put things together, so.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
I will not be going to Neo, because I'm tired.
Well, okay, here's the hack there, because I know that you're not a camper. I am not a camper.
Yeah.
What you do is you go and you stay in the hotel 40 minutes away,
yeah.
And you get the whirlpool tub that is directly next to your bed, and so you can just go in the tub and then get in bed, and then you wake up and go. And then you go join everyone in the morning whenever you wake up from your bed.
Nice. You got all the hacks. I mean, you did it last year, you said.
So yes. Well, that was the only way that I would do it because my girlfriend, Claire, really wanted to go. And I was like, I don't have the capacity to be outside for multiple days in a row where you have to bring everything with you and we're not doing it. Sorry.
I hate camping, so this sounds great.
Compromise.
Yeah.
We did go to the NorCal Ren Faire a few years ago now, and we stayed in an RV overnight. Mm. So it was one night in an RV. I can do that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
RV is nice. It works.
Yeah. It's for one night, it's totally, yeah. You have a little refrigerator in there. You still have a bed.
Mm-hmm.
You're technically, like, you are inside of a thing.
You have a shower.
But you're still, like, having the little camping experience.
A little moment.
Yeah.
Camping moment.
But yeah, no, we're having a not camping moment
when
we go to Neo. Because we have too much shit. Like, we're really about the costumes and, like, dressing up and, like, having really complicated. I don't know how people bring all their stuff and do all their makeup outside. I just, I don't have the capacity.
My partner does it all in a tent.
Oh, so you're actually going camping at this event?
Yeah. We got a tent and all that stuff, so yeah, we do it like for Wasteland.
She's done Wasteland,
she's a Wastelander, yeah. So she has like a whole makeup thing set up with a vanity thing.
Wow.
It's just like she does it right there inside the tent and ready to go rock and roll. She's a pro.
Wow.
She's a pro. Yeah. She's a pro.
I will definitely not be doing any of the camping. I'm going to sit right here in my comfy big yellow chair and be like, all right, you guys have fun.
Yes.
But then I always feel like secondhand, like, oh, FOMO, because everybody's having so much fun and they look so good. So maybe I'll try it next year or the year after that or the year after that.
They don't tell you about the cold or the dirt and the sand and everything. So,
oh, yeah. It's glamorous on Instagram from my, exactly. You know. Yeah. I love that. But also, so Chompy, you're not only an editor and you're obviously going out and doing all these like fun and wonderful events, but you yourself have a podcast, or you had one, right?
I do. It's called Extremely Online. It's coming back.
Ah, yay!
It's a podcast about the internet. I have Taylor Lorenz on an episode that I need to edit. So I'm an editor who edits for other people, and I love doing that. When it's my own thing, I will put it off forever because I just hate looking at myself. This one, we have a nice little deadline, so it's great. Yeah, this will work out, but just
close your eyes while you edit.
Yeah. And then I have a new podcast about horror movies that will be coming in the summer. So,
So you're going to juggle multi-podcasts.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole podcast world.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Yeah. Well, be sure to check them out. We'll link down in the description, or you'll probably help me link it. You'll be able to find it faster than me. But obviously on this podcast, as you know, we have DeLulu's, and I thought you brought up a very, I don't want to say like hot topic kind of topic, I guess more of just like something that's really relevant, which is why we want to get this one out sooner than later. But you saw the Quiet on Set documentary.
Yes.
And you were like really passionate about it.
Well, yeah, I think that there's been opinions just – so I didn't watch it right away when it came out. It came out early in March, I believe.
Yeah.
I watched it, I think, last week or the week before that. Mm-hmm. But I had been drawn to watch it because literally all over my TikTok, all over my Instagram are people posting clips from it or posting clips from different shows. So it has been everywhere, just like the Ariana Grande clips – especially.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, didn't know. Well, some of it I didn't. So I had heard stuff about Dan Schneider. I've heard about him for years. And I was actually working in a prop house last year that serviced Nickelodeon shows. So there was just chatter everywhere about it. But yeah, I just felt like the documentary, it covered a lot, but it also left a lot out. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a lot of speculation about like Amanda Bynes and like if the account that was posting
the Twitter.
Yeah. That was like posting about like things that supposedly happened to her. Yeah. And,
allegedly, just to keep everybody on the loop, allegedly there was an Amanda Bynes Twitter that was like, like years ago, where she showed a photo of her ID and then tweeted out a bunch of things about Dan Schneider. Allegedly, it was never confirmed if it was her or not, but the fact that they tweeted out a photo of her ID was pretty damning evidence that it was her. And she was basically saying a bunch of allegations about like Dan being her abuser, but she didn't come forward for the documentary.
Well, she, I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of her, I don't know how recent her posts are, but there's been, I've seen reposts of her TikToks about, like, I think she was going to nail school.
Yeah.
She does not seem well.
Yeah.
She seems like you couldn't ask her about it.
Yeah. She has, what is it, like, extremely blonde hair. She's got, like, a heart tattoo under her eye. And when she talks and makes content lately, because I, too, have seen the Nail Tech video, she doesn't seem like she was a very bubbly and happy looking child on these like Nickelodeon shows. She was very comedic. And now to see her, in her mid 30s, but there's no light, there's no smile, there's no nothing left. And it makes you wonder what really
it just like seems
her.
like lobotomized. Like it's scary. So, I don't want to like make any speculations about like what happened or what she, if she did anything. I have no idea.
We don't know her.
Just is clearly not the same
person
who you saw as a kid.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who Amanda Bynes is.
You don't know?
You never watched the Amanda Show?
No, I stopped like right after Clarissa Explains It All.
Okay.
I feel like, the Amanda Show and Drake and Josh was like very much my time. After that, like the more Dan Schneider shows like iCarly and Victorious and all that, that was past when I was watching.
I watched those shows.
But I loved the Amanda Show, and I remember my parents multiple times being like, you shouldn't be watching this. And at the time, you have no idea. You have no idea. But now when you watch the documentary, it's like, oh, her character was named Penelope Taint. Come on. And I loved that character. I thought it was so funny. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that I like repeated her name at some point. And
wow.
But why did he wrote off in one of Dan Schneider's explanations, or like one of the writers had came forward and said that it was supposed to be short for like temper tantrum. So that's where they got that word from. So they were trying to write off a lot of inappropriate language and shots of the kids like having things happen to them. There was a scene where she was talking to the audience about like giving them all popcorn or something. And the guy was like, oh, if you buy 300 things of popcorn, no, it was pretzels. If you buy 300 pretzels, you get a baby with it. And just like weird things that now as an adult totally make sense because they were insinuating hidden messages.
Right, yeah, and yeah, alluding to potentially that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, if that was real and that happened, like, that would...
Allegedly.
And, well, there are clips in the documentary of him, of Dan Schneider being like, I'm the writer, I can make you do anything I want, I can put you in a horrible situation. It's like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Do you really think you should say that about... There's kids that you're working with.
There's an entire sketch where it's Amanda in a hot tub with other adults. And, like, she's in a swimsuit, mind you. But, like, why is a kid on TV in a swimsuit and then interviewing people in a hot tub?
And, yeah, interviewing and him.
Dan was in one of them.
Fully clothed in the hot tub. And it's like, as adults can look at that situation and know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, Quiet on Set is a documentary that came out this year. In fact, at this time, it came out a month ago. And it's not only one person's perspective of what happened at Nickelodeon when it was Nick on Sunset, but it's multiple people. Some people that wanted to come forward and have a name and a face, and lots of people that did not want to come forward and have a name and a face. But there were two female writers. There was a director who came forward. And so many others that shared their time working with Dan Schneider personally, whether it be in the writer's room or on set. And a lot of the kid stars, well, not a lot, but I would say like three or four, came forward and talked about their experiences on Dan Schneider's show. And for us both, we watched these shows, these skits, these parodies, and you don't think anything of it because when we were kids, I wanted to be on TV. I wanted to, you know, be an actor. And it's insane now that this documentary comes forward and highlights how dangerous the set allegedly was. And now is coming forward that it is very dangerous, not only for kids, but for women in the industry.
I keep thinking about, the ethics of having child actors, because obviously there are great movies with great child actors. And like when you have a kid who is that good of an actor, that young, like, you would want to, and probably they want to an extent, keep doing it. I grapple with where is that line? And like, there are obviously people who are happy to abuse that line. And, oh, it's capitalism again. When you have a kid who can, it was like, oh, if we just do this one thing and we get... Mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z, and just pushing, because...
I think Allison Stoner, if anybody has seen her podcast, I didn't have time to watch the entire thing, but I saw a clip where she talks about how a child, because she's also a child actress, but she was on the Disney side of things, that she was auditioning for, like, very serious shows where the kids would be reenacting, like, parents having situations and the kid being in the middle of it, or like police interrogations. And as a child, you don't know what's really real. And you're asking these children in these movies, TV, television shows, whatever, you're asking them to act like they're in them. And as they grow up, Allison Stoner comes forward and says that she feels like she lived through those experiences that were just scripted, but now she has the memory of watching hypothetical mom and dad fight in front of her. There was one where she had to audition for a show where she was underneath a chair in fear of somebody coming in and like taking her out of the room, like yanking her out. And she remembers leaving that audition shook up because she was scared somebody was going to come and actually take her. So it's very interesting hearing the celebrities and child stars that do want to come forward now, because it's their experience and like what they're now taking with them into therapy and into their walks of life. And like Jeanette McCurdy wrote a book, and it's fascinating to see. Well, not fascinating. It's sad. It's awful to see what they went through and how it affects them now as an adult and throughout the rest of their lives.
Well, yeah, it clearly, yeah, the drama bomb of the series was that Drake Bell,
yeah,
was the anonymous, yeah, do you want to talk about?
Sure, yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Quiet on Set, there was a court case, a very famous court case back in the day that was really swept under the rug where, what was his name? There was an abuser on the set. So on Nickelodeon's shows. Peck. Yes, Brian Peck. There were three big, I'm going to use the P word. There were three big files on the set. One was an editor who was famously caught on How to Catch a Predator, who would edit all the Nickelodeon shows. There was Brian Peck, who was an acting coach, like a dialect coach per se, and he worked one-on-one with a lot of the kids. And then there was another one, which I don't know this man's name, but he was basically like a talent assistant where he would walk the children like from their parents. Okay, I'm taking them to the makeup chair. And he would escort the children on set. And the big court case was focusing on Brian Peck and his relationship with Drake Bell. This court case was swept under the rug. It was very... very minimal repercussions for him. I think he did 16 months in jail, not even. Like, it was a very short amount of time, and no one knew who the child star was, who was the young boy. And even the director in, or a director in the documentary said, like, oh, it was just a boy on set, like he was an extra. And then the person running the camera was like, no, he was the star of a show. This child was a big star on the show. And the director was like, What do you mean? Really? They were shocked. People didn't know that it was Drake Bell. Mm-hmm. And it's a miracle that that never came out and it didn't affect his career, because all these celebrities came forward. I think there were 42 or somewhere in the 40s of iconic celebrities writing and supporting that this predator was tempted by a young star, which when you're... like, what? He was 15?
Yeah.
How could a 15-year-old seduce a grown man? I'm sorry, but that is just wrong on so many levels.
It's so disappointing. Who knows what Brian Peck was telling those people about... But it is like, yeah, they signed things that were like, yeah, this child came... Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Child was seducing him, or what was it? There was an iconic word that they used for it. Oh, I can't think of it, but it's just the audacity of grown adults to assume that the child wanted this when he obviously was up there and clearly was affected by this. And it's sad, but also it's very interesting to see how Drake Bell not only was the victim of this abuse, but I've seen a couple of YouTube videos. Scandi is the one that I've been watching the most because she does very investigative deep dives. She talks about how that him being the victim and then all of a sudden becoming the predator to not only one 15-year-old. I'm talking about Drake Bell here. He went on to do the same thing to a 15-year-old, but also two of his exes came forward and said that he was verbally, physically abusive.
Oh, yeah. 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 I just found out though that part today. So I saw about the court case where he pled guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know any of that when I was watching the documentary. When I was watching the documentary, it is very emotional, yeah, watching him talk about this, talking about the relationship with his parents. You also see Drake Bell's dad.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for his dad because Drake Bell basically fired his dad as a child. And like, that's what abusers do, is they separate you from the people that you love and the people that care about you and that people who actually have your best interest. They get you away from people like Drake Bell's dad. So mm-hmm. It was very emotional watching them, because he didn't know for years either. His dad didn't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, seeing that now, like, he's turned around and kind of done similar things, abusing younger and like abusing his parents, like, this is why you need to get help. It is, yeah, your responsibility, unfortunately. When stuff happens to you, you need to talk to somebody about it, because if you don't, it will fester and you will take that out on other people. And
yeah,
it's so sad to see that cycle of abuse happen, mm-hmm. because yeah, it is horrific and tragic what happened to him, and it is also horrific and tragic what has happened to the people that yeah he is now affected. So yeah.
It's very interesting because I'm curious, have you ever had, if you would like to share, have you ever had an experience where somebody was grooming you potentially or anything?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I don't want to get into it on this podcast. Yeah, totally, but yeah, totally. Yeah, no, there's like, I knew someone from watching their YouTube videos and I met them, and that turned into a completely different experience than mm-hmm. what I thought it would be based on how I knew them in my head. And yeah, other things that they said. So I like whenever victims come out, like I really like that really resonates with me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just a very, yeah, it's a very sad cycle to witness. Cause yeah, I feel a lot of empathy for and sympathy for everyone involved basically. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting that like you've even witnessed that yourself, but it's also great to be like see getting help and properly dealing with it can really stop the cycle of abuse. I personally had an incident where it wasn't anybody famous. It was actually a youth pastor who was writing me love notes, even though I was dating his son when I was like 15, 14. I've actually never talked about this, so bear with me. And I had no idea as a child that this man was grooming me. I just thought like he was my friend because he would write that like we were good friends. But then he would write, I love you at the bottom of these notes and all kinds of crazy predatory things. And as a child, you don't know. And he had power. He was like the youth pastor at my church like that I went to. And I remember my mom seeing one of the notes and being shocked, and I wish she would have stepped in and did something, but also my mom is not a religious person, so she just was like, you shouldn't go to this church anymore. And as soon as you tell a teenager not to do something, of course they're going to do it. So I still kept on going. Luckily, nothing ever happened, and it ended at some point because of other reasons, but I don't go out of my way to talk to 15-year-olds, you know? It's recognizing that, oh, I was being groomed in this situation, and now obviously I have a therapist that I see weekly to like talk to about those kinds of things, and I hope Drake is doing the same. Obviously, he did not deserve what happened to him, but also he should take accountability, which I am happy that he pled guilty in that court case, because pleading guilty and recognizing that this is a problem is ultimately the first step. So
right, I did see that he apparently was going into like Instagram comments when people were talking about his exes, and him being like, none of that was proven, or like there was no court case about that. So it's like,
don't say anything. Stop talking.
Go get help. Yeah, no, truly. There are two other documentaries I want to recommend if you like this one, and you're interested in like the cycle of abuse and like how these things happen. Abducted in Plain Sight. Have you seen that?
I have not.
So that's about a man who's a neighbor with family, a 12 or like 14-year-old girl, and he basically convinces her family that he is in love with her, they're in love, and they're going to get married, and he like convinces her family that it's okay for him to like take her away, and he abuses the mom and dad separately, like turns them against each other, like does stuff to them that they're embarrassed to talk to each other, and it's crazy. So watch that one.
Yeah.
And The Keepers. Have you seen that one?
I've heard of that one.
Okay, that one's about, I believe it's Baltimore nuns. And basically, yeah, a priest was abusing these little girls, and this nun found out about it and was going to come forward, and then she's killed. And then the priest, like, shows the little girls her body, and they're like, if you ever say anything, here's what's going to happen to you. It's crazy. Gosh. Yeah, no, so watch that one too. Oh yeah, no, that's a whole other whole other can of worms.
Yeah. Oh, definitely watch those. Yeah, I am very interested, especially after seeing this one. I also want to add, outside of the documentary, there was a Dan Schneider Responded.
I couldn't bear to watch it.
I didn't watch it either, but I watched other people's, because I don't want to give him the view. I'm not gonna let him collect money off that.
I don't want to give him the time of day. I'm like, a 15-minute apology. I've seen enough apology videos. I know what you're going to say.
It was a 19-minute interview with T-Bone, who is an adult actor that was on the show iCarly. So he had somebody interview him, and it wasn't even like a child that was on the set. It wasn't like an official reporter. It was an adult that happened to be on one of the shows. And he basically said like a blanket generalized, like, I'm so sorry that you felt that way kind of thing. And he claims that he wanted to pick up the phone and apologize to people, but he had his lawyer pick up the phone and offer people hush money. So make that make any
so
sense.
So what you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that?
I also wanted to read this quote because I thought it was very fascinating. He is sorry that at the time he was new and experienced to filmmaking and used it as an excuse for sexual harassment and child predatory behavior. He also says that they now going forward should have therapists on set to make sure the kids really want to be on TV and understand what's going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
He thinks the reason that the children are having these psychological issues as adults is because they became famous on TV, not because of the treatment that he put them through.
You can see from the clips where he's behind the camera, like, going up to people, going up to the kids on set, where they visibly cover themselves, turn away, just make themselves smaller. Like, clearly there is a way that he is, that they're like, I do not want to interact with you. And like, when I am not being paid to be on camera, I am not giving you anything. Stop.
Yeah, he is something else. And I'm even shocked that he issued a blanket, or what some are calling just like a fake apology. It's like, dude, you were better off being quiet. But I've heard it's because he's writing another movie.
That's the unfortunate thing, is that he's still out there and he's trying again. And it's so sad that he's probably gonna get away with it, like, for the time being, like, unless some other bombshell drops. Like, unfortunately, he's mostly gonna get away with it, and that is this, like, very sad reality of
I wanted to ask you both, because obviously there were a lot of kids and people on these shows, and Jeanette McCurdy, who is a star on iCarly and iCarly and Sam and Cat, that's what it was. She came forward in her book and said that Nickelodeon had offered her $300,000 as hush money. Now, this is not alleged. She legit was like, I did not take the $300,000 to be quiet so that she could talk about it. And I want to know if you think that these other child stars did take the hush money, because a lot of them aren't coming forward.
That's very possible, because there's, a handful of people that I'm like, it's weird that they're showing your picture and you're not in this, and, like, your co-stars are in this. So that is a strong, strong possibility. And who knows what was offered to them? It could have been a life-changing amount of money. And, like, I don't know how well any of them are doing. Like, maybe they made the right choice for them at that time. Yeah. So it is unfortunate that,
So I'm curious, though, in both of your opinions, if someone offers you hush money, even with NDAs, because NDAs technically can't hide illegal activity, right? And what Dan was doing, like, the mistreatment of the writers on the set, of course, is illegal. But him taking photos with kids on set and, like, asking them for massages isn't really illegal. Do you think hush money, like, they would just have to give it back in order to speak up? Or, like, what's your thoughts on the hush money?
Isn't there, I know for the Me Too movement, there is a fund for people who were given, essentially, like,
given the hush money?
Yeah. And so I'm not sure what they signed, what might say that they have to give it back, or, like, what happens if you break this contract or whatever. But I know that there is a fund for people who are Me Too survivors. Basically, like, have their lawyers paid for by this fund, like, if that happens to you, if you decide, like, I want to come forward. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who has done that. But I do know that that's available.
I don't know. What do you think, Cosmo?
Hush money.
We're just laughing because it's uncomfortable. Sorry. Yeah.
For those people that haven't come forward, yeah, they definitely got hush money. I mean, it depends on their situations. If they're an actor and they're not getting crap and they can use it.
Right.
Because what I've noticed with some actors is once they hit like a good year, you know, they're on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that I can see how that gets the mind where you're like, I'm making all this money now. And you start getting all these things that require that same amount of money every friggin' year.
Right.
And then when the next year when everything's slow and all that kind of crap, you're like, oh, you're hurting. So now you have all this makeup artists, designers, your entourage behind you, several different agents, and you know, yada, yada, yada. So I could see where some people would take it.
Yeah.
I, on one hand, if I was in that situation, wouldn't. Because I'm just like, if nothing is worth it. I used to say $50 is $50, but that's like a sunset.
That's different, though. That's
a Sunset Boulevard old school talk back in the early Hollywood days. But something like that, serious? No, I'm not. I wouldn't keep quiet.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I'd probably be the first one to say something and encourage other people to speak up.
Yeah.
And then make them feel really bad for not speaking up.
Because like a big one that people are questioning is Ariana Grande. Because she got her start from Victorious and Sam and Cat. And there are some scenes of her that are like mimic shot for shot from Corn. Like her laying on a bed, like doing a vlog where she's like pouring the water on herself. She's squeezing a potato saying, give me the juice, insinuating eggplants. but she hasn't said anything, and it kind of makes me wonder. Obviously, this is just speculation. This is just my thoughts, but it makes me wonder if she's, like, ashamed, and maybe she was one of the victims directly correlated with Dan, where maybe there was something going on behind closed doors with her and him, and that's why she's not speaking up.
It's got to be bigger than anything that we know about. That's, yeah.
Just sad.
Especially if you have, like, a following that people look up to you.
Yeah. And then you hear that. It would be such a bombshell. It's like, there's so much on the table, so I just can't imagine what being in that situation would be like.
But then why do you both think, this again, this is all alleged, like this is not facts right now, why do you think Amanda Bynes won't speak out?
I think she's not well. I don't know if she would, based on what I've seen from her, like where she's talking about like going to, like I don't know if she would be in, it seems like her mind has been erased, like
okay,
whether it be like if she got like electrotherapy or like
I honestly don't know.
They
Men in Blacked her with the or like
meth or something, like it seems like something erased her brain one way or the other.
She probably got Britney Spears.
Britney Spears is another one who I'm like, I love you so much. When I see your post, I'm so concerned about
what happened. Like, I know, I've heard the story, I watched the documentary, the Free Britney, stuff like that. I'm just like, I'm looking at her videos now, I'm like,
someone needs to take care of you or something.
Yeah.
But how are you going to this, like, Charlie Sheen, Tiger King, blood, thingamajigger, you know?
Yeah.
This psychosomatic situation.
I mean, when you're that famous at that young of an age, I think it really psychologically does something to you.
It definitely does.
There's been some studies that say like the age that you become like pop star, like the huge famous, kind of like JoJo Siwa is another good example, where you become internationally known. There's studies that say that when that happens to you as a child or a young adult, your mind kind of stays in that mindset as you grow. So you kind of get stuck in that like 13, 12, 10-year-old mind.
I think that happened to Justin Bieber.
Really? You think so?
There's like, this whole thing with Puff Daddy is going on.
P. Diddy?
P. Diddy with like sex trafficking and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, yeah. Like him bringing on, I don't know, there's a couple of videos where I think Justin Bieber came out and said there was, like, some dark times and some stuff that he's coming out with. He's, like, changing things because, like, it's not how kids should be brought into it, especially in the music industry. Mm-hmm. Music industry and movie industry is not so different. It's the same creeps and predators no matter where you go.
Yeah.
And he was a child. He was a child.
He was very young.
Star, and he just, boom, all over the place. And then now it's something different. You can see in his face. Mm-hmm. You can tell in his performance, his interviews, that he's seen some stuff and been through some stuff. So
yeah, he's another one that I think, like you said, something something happened because, like, his fear of, like, the paparazzi is unmatched. Like, have you seen the one video of all three of the Spider-Mans going through the airport? And, like, Tom Holland is, like, waving and smiling and having a good time because paparazzi was very different then than when, what was the first Spider-Man's name? The actor. Tobey Maguire's, like, hiding and scared and, like, shell-shocked. Yeah. And they're all standing next to each other going through security. And it's amazing to see how paparazzi has changed throughout the years where Tobey's hiding and scared and, like, he's traumatized. And, you know, Tom Holland's like, hey, guys, how's it going? Well, so it shows how the change, the dynamic has changed between celebrity and
Tom Holland didn't see Princess Diana die.
Like, it's so different. So I feel like there's been some change in paparazzi and that sort of atmosphere. But also it's like, it's terrifying to see these celebrities of, like, our childhood or even before us just really crumble and fall apart. And it makes you wonder, like, what happened?
The paparazzi back then were brutal.
Yeah.
They were so brutal. They were just in front of your car, just trying to get that picture.
They'll be mean. They'll say anything to get the shot. So, yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's like, when you only care about money, like, you'll say literally anything to get whatever the thing it is that you need to get the money. And it's,
I would be a horrible celebrity because I would punch people out.
Oh, I know you would. That's why when I pop off, you're my security. Let's go.
I got your back 100%. Anybody that comes around. Because you'll smile through it. Exactly.
Hey, you like a knuckle sandwich?
Hey, let me talk to you in the back real quick. Over here in the round corner. You want an exclusive picture of that? Come over here.
Let me just give you a secret. Also, I wanted to point out, Trisha Paytas is another, like, really big podcast. Like, I personally look up to her podcast a lot. She interviewed the Zoe 101 star, Alexa Nicholas, and she was, like, the best friend of Zoe on the show, and she also was bullied on the set not only by Dan Schneider but also by Jamie Lynn Spears. And she iconically remembers being yelled at by Britney Spears herself on that set. So if you're looking for more material, for more actual facts and someone who actually was on one of the sets, I highly recommend watching the Just Trish podcast on that episode. It was very good. Not good. Good, but, you know, it was very enlightening. Yes. I didn't know that they're doing a follow-up on the Quiet on Set. It's coming out Sunday, April 7th, which is this weekend, and it's what's today? Friday
it's the 5th today.
So we're filming this on the 5th, which means, like, we might have to do a follow-up right after you. This
there'll be a new episode, so I don't know what, I think there's gonna be new people in there, so really? I'm not sure, but I'm very excited to watch the new episode.
Just to kind of, I don't know, put a button on it or just keep encouraging people to come forward, because, like they said in the documentary, people were scared they were going to lose their jobs. Like, the two writers were threatened by Dan that they would never write again. And being women writers in the 90s was rare. So I totally get why these victims wouldn't come forward, because your job, your livelihood, your everything's on the line.
Yeah. But that's why I hope that, this documentary is seen by a lot of people, and it seems like it has been really popular. So I hope that this, like, kind of moves the boulder on Dan Schneider. And, like, even if he is able to continue, well, hopefully he isn't able to continue. Hopefully enough people are able to come forward that, like, he stop is put to this, because it's nuts.
The real question is, though, is what – I mean, yeah, sure, people cannot hire him and not buy his work. Like, that's one thing. That's an easy thing that companies should be doing, especially now that his name is literally everywhere tied to this documentary. But, like, is there a way that he can go to jail? Like, right. What is something
who
that they
put
can
him
prove?
Away,
yeah.
Right,
so that way he does time or has some repercussion for his actions. Because just because he can't get hired anywhere doesn't mean – because he could write under a false name. He's still connected, I'm sure, with other people, because he was paying kids on set for photos of their feet, kind of thing. So it's like, obviously he was so well connected, he still probably has a lot of those connections. He even said in that, like, interview that, like, oh, there's tons of people that won't work with me, but there's still some that will. And it's like, he could still be writing and using a fake name, and he could be paying other people to be on set directing and doing things. So how do you put someone who's done a lot but just not enough illegally to put him behind bars? Like, what do we do with this?
What do we do? Yeah. That is the question.
Because, yeah, like, obviously no one in their right mind should want to work with him, but that one guy wanted to T-Bone, whatever his name is, that actor, reached out to him in the first 10 seconds of this interview with Dan after everything came out, said, I watched the documentary Quiet on Set, and I just instantly wanted to reach out to you, Dan. You want to reach out to, like, the Predator?
That's
your
first instinct? That's wild.
What is wrong with you?
When did Dan start working at Nick?
Well, by my calculations, actually, I don't have that date, but...
Because I watched this documentary that I thought was that one, but it was about the orange logo or something like that. It was about the upcomings of...
The foot?
Well, no, it was about how Nickelodeon started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was created and ran by a woman. Mm. And there was a point that she stepped down... Because she said it's not the same anymore. It's become something. It's because she said it comes something bigger for me to handle than I can handle. And she stepped down. And like the way she said it, I was like, I get that. She's been doing it since day one. She went from a little tiny little like couple of episodes to this big thing. They had a Universal lot and all this stuff like that. And then she was like, yeah, it's time for me to go. And I was like trying to figure it out. I'm like, when did he come in? And maybe that's why she quit. Yeah,
when was the Amanda Show?
Dan Schneider first hired.
The last ones in that documentary was the last shows that they created. Cause they're talking about Rugrats. They're talking about everything else. And then talk about Clarissa Explains It All, casting her, how she was just kind of perfect for the character. And then Pete and Pete.
1993 is when Dan Schneider was hired as a showrunner, I think.
Damn.
Production for the network hired Schneider to work on a new sketch comedy show. Because he first started working on All That was the first thing he wrote. So I wonder if she stepped away. I'd be curious to look up the timeline between the originator of Nickelodeon and when Dan got brought on.
Because she did it. She started in the 80s.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Early, so that would make sense.
Mid-80s. And then it just, I remember they were talking about All That and then the guys from Good Burger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. He was in Good Burger. Good Burger. Good Burger. Wow.
Welcome to Good Burger. Home of the Good Burger.
He was in Good Burger. I think he was the owner of the restaurant, is what I heard.
Makes sense.
Or so he was like, he wrote himself as a character in Good Burger.
That kid that plays, well, not the one with the hair, no one with the voice, but the other one that's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He looks like he's seen some shit.
Oh, really? Yeah,
he's traumatized. No. He doesn't look like, he looks like the kind of guy that's like, I'm on TV, so I'm trying to be funny. But you see me in real life, I just want to be quiet to myself. That's what he looks like. That's what he seems like to me, the vibe he gives off.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, this was definitely a big delulu for me, too, because it's crazy, like, looking back, because as a kid watching it, I didn't feel like there was anything weird or wrong with it, but I do remember hearing that Dan, like, there were whispers of him being troublesome. Like, not when I was a kid, but, like, probably when I was, like, young 20s. Because I remember people were taking all the end credits where they would put, like, the most inappropriate phrases from the episode at the end credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember people being like, what is this? Like, why? Like, it would be phrases completely out of context that they would write in the show that would, like, kind of make sense. But without context, were extremely dirty for kids to be hearing.
Wow.
Like, one of them was like, can I hold it? Or one of them was like, I don't want to be blackballed. The Ariana Grande one was in there. The give up the juice from the potato. There was
Okay, that's creepy.
A lot of inappropriate things. So, yeah. Where do we go from here? How do we get Dan behind bars, you know? Like, What do we do?
Step get one. A hold of his laptop.
Yeah. Get his laptop.
Oh,
and
God.
Just see.
FBI. Yeah. I'm sure there's incriminating.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I just like, ugh. I hope more keeps coming out, or at least enough comes out that the victims can, one, feel a sense of relief, but also hopefully we can get some other, well, not get other victims to come forward, but maybe this can inspire others to come forward and there be enough to put him behind bars. Because if when the false Amanda Bynes Twitter at the time is true, that she had essentially abortions or, you know, allegedly, that's incriminating.
That's enough a bombshell. To put
him away.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the facts here. First of all, Amanda Bynes is a person that do not know who this is, but what you guys are saying, she's kind of like comatose. She's like, and she's doing something different. But she was lively and poppy back then, and that Twitter back then came out, but now it's gone, allegedly. So, A, she got hush money.
You think so?
And threatened.
Yeah.
That's the only possible explanation for her to act that way, from switching that crazy, unless... there's drugs involved. Does she look druggy?
Yeah.
Allegedly,
I mean, for entertainment purposes only. Allegedly, allegedly. Continue.
So.
These are our thoughts.
Maybe.
Not facts.
Maybe it's also that, too. Pumping her full of stuff. Because you can also eject somebody.
Yeah.
Which I've seen this happen. I've heard this happen. I've seen it happen once, but I've heard it happen plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Where you get somebody in like a. At a bar, and you slip them one of those things.
Yeah.
To make them all loose and whatever like that. And then you wake up and you have like a fucking hole in your vein because they pumped you full of heroin or something like that. And then once that's in, that's like, it's like, I heard it's the worst. Mm. You can't shake it. There's like a 5% success rate of cold turkeying it. So it's like, that could happen. Like they could control it that way. Comatose. Brainwashing. I don't know, man. Because that just sounds really fishy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you just see one video clip, you're like, something's gone wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm not laughing. I really don't want to laugh at her. Like, something clearly very horrible has happened. And I'm laughing because I'm like, I don't know what happened. And I don't know how to help anyone.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because, like, Amanda... I mean, I don't know her financial situation, but don't you think, like, I don't know. I have a hard time wrapping my brain around the fact that the hush money is stopping people from coming forward. Because I guess Jeanette McCurdy, she was a lead in two of the shows, and if she was given $300,000, you have to imagine that the leads in the other shows were probably offered more money. But now a lot of them have done other things or have jobs or have lives, and it's like... God, I don't know.
What if that's part of the hush money? You get hush money plus that guy's connection in the industry.
Right.
Because it sounds like he could probably ruin somebody.
Yeah.
Like, people were like that back then anyways. Like, Weinstein was like that. You're like, yeah, you don't go by this, you'll never work in this town again.
Right.
So.
You're right. Man. Ooh. On a happier note, where can everybody find you, Chompy? Tell us a little bit more about your happiness.
Yeah, I'm OMG Chomp on everything, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok sometimes. I'm posting about my little computer adventures, my vintage tech adventures. I'm making little floppy disk.
Oh,
I'm putting. Cool. I got a floppy disk drive. It does connect to a current computer. I can put, I think, 1.3 kilobytes on it. Yeah, very tiny picture. So okay, I'm putting a little pixelated picture of my butt to hand out on floppy disks.
Yes! Oh my god, that's great.
At the event.
Oh,
I also have a VHS camera, so I'm playing with VHS all the time. I collect VHS. I'm having a little cyberpunk adventure.
Yeah,
my page.
You're like vintage girly pop.
Yeah, there's another girl who also, like, I can't think of what her TikTok name is, but she has like the wall of keyboards with little bows on them. She's always like making like awesome outfits. Also, yeah, when I find her name, I'll put that in there.
Like, I'll add some work for myself. Yeah. I'll go find it. That's awesome.
But yes, very inspiring. Yeah.
Well, thank you for bringing up this topic because, like, I knew it was on my mind, but I also didn't feel like I had enough to talk about, which I proved myself wrong.
Yeah, you had a whole notebook. Yeah.
But thank you so much for bringing this up and wanting to do an episode and everyone getting to know you. Like, it's a scary thing to be a face on social media. So thank you for wanting to do that.
Yeah, no, everyone has been so nice, so complimentary. So thank you, everyone, for liking the show and, being awesome.
Ooh, and I always forget to ask this, but I'm going to remember. Which of the DeLulu characters do you feel like?
Oh,
are you the bear?
Wait, show them to me again.
Uh-oh, I don't have a sticker. Cosmo, do you got a sticker?
No. Oh! I think I'm the purple one. I'm the purple one.
Rowing the boat. I do like being the bear because the bear is just kind of like, look at the drama going by. Whereas like the cat's angrily, or the cat's like freaking out and then the dog's mad about it.
Yeah.
So,
No, sometimes you just have to let it flow by. Sometimes there's just so much
Just wave as it goes
by. There's so much that people are posting about, yeah, quiet on set that I'm like, I can't engage with this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to
just take it in.
Close. Yeah. Okay, scroll. That's nice that you think that.
I yeah. This...
What character are you feeling like?
I'm feeling like the dog that's pissed
angry,
off.
Yeah,
the world and people, you know? There's some people that are like, I'm not saying any names, so I don't want to make this all political, but there's some people that has like millions of convictions and whatnot. Nothing! You're still able to go and get a Starbucks. Yeah. So it's kind of sucks how the system works, you know? Truly. And it's like, how much evidence do you need? How many victims and bodies do you need before you actually start giving a crap?
Yeah,
so, truly.
And that pisses me off. I wish I had the license to do things to people. Just like, you are guilty.
We have our next James Bond right here. Oh my here. God.
I have a gavel. I think we should, oh my gosh, we should make you like a judge.
Yeah.
And we'll bring you our like, am I the asshole?
Am I the asshole?
No, Cosmo needs to be above the law. Yeah.
The license to bitch slap people. There you go.
Cosmo
there you
go. 007 status.
Yeah.
Yes. 007. I feel like after Sunday, after the update comes out, like we should do like another powwow and do this.
Yes,
again.
Yeah. I would
just
love
do
to.
Maybe do like a mini episode just to be like our thoughts on this since we opened up the Pandora's box of this. Mm-hmm. But until then, be sure to subscribe. Hit that bell notification. I hope we're on Apple Podcasts at this point. I might have not fixed that yet. But be sure to subscribe. Leave us good reviews because it helps new podcasts. And tell your friends. And spread the word on this, not just the podcast, but on Quiet on Set. Because the more we talk about it, the more ways we're going to find solutions and not have these situations occur to kids, people, anyone. So be loud and proud. Strong and wrong. Not wrong in this case, but you know what I mean. Subscribe, stay positive. Have a hug.
Bye. Ooh.
That's me hugging them.